ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिम हरे कृष्ण। आई वुड लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज एंड गेस्ट हु हैव टेकन आउट देयर वैल्यूएबल टाइम ऑन अ संडे आफ्टरनून एंड डिसाइडेड टू कम हियर फॉर आवर संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम। And I have shown by your actions that you are all part of this wonderful Radha Gopinath family. We are also very inspired to see so many devotees coming every week. Today is the most auspicious occasion of Srila Prabhupada going to America. Today is the day he left the shores of Bharat Bhumi. And on this occasion, we can speak a few words in glorification of Srila Prabhupada for the pleasure of their lordships and also for the pleasure of all the devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text number 68, Krishna says to Arjuna, this is the conclusion of the Gita. And now Krishna is telling the essence of his instructions. And he says, या इदं परमं गुह्यं मद्भक्तेश विद्यासति भक्तिं मयि परां कृत्वा मामेव शत संशया। फॉर वन हू एक्सप्लेन्स दिस सुप्रीम सीक्रेट टू द डिवोटीज, प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस इज गारंटीड एंड एट द एंड ही विल कम बैक टू मी। श्रील प्रभुपाद राइट्स इन द पर्पोर्ट दैट Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it should not be presented to those who are envious. But anyone who tries to sincerely present Bhagavad Gita will advance in his devotional service and reach the pure devotional state of life. So in this verse, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that those who preach about Krishna consciousness to others, they are most dear to him. So one very, very nice way of becoming dear to Krishna is you tell somebody else about Krishna. And the next verse, Krishna says something very powerful. He says, Nachatasman manusheshu kaschin me priya krittama bhavita nachame tasmad anya priya tarobhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he. Nor will there ever be one more dear. So Krishna is establishing that there will be no devotee who will be more dear to Krishna than one who selflessly tells about Krishna to everyone. And this is exactly the life of Srila Prabhupada. From day one, he was only anxious to spread Krishna consciousness in his manifest pastimes in this world. And Srila Prabhupada today departed from India. Somebody might think, oh, he didn't try to preach in India? No, he preached a lot. And he went to America, but somebody might think, was he abandoning Indians? Is it that Prabhupada didn't want to give us Krishna consciousness? No, Prabhupada was a master in preaching. Was empowered by Lord Krishna. And he knew that Indians are more attracted to imported goods, imported products, which have a label, you know, made in America or some other country. So Prabhupada went to America, preached Krishna consciousness, made the Westerners devotees, and brought them back to India. And people saw, wow, Hare Krishna, we know, but who are these? Western bodied, white bodied. Prabhupada called them, they are my dancing white elephants. And that was a sensation. And slowly people started accepting Indians. If Americans can practice, we can also practice. And that's so, I can say for myself, I was attracted to see so many foreigners coming to Hare Krishna. Isn't it? Most of us, well, they are practicing, there must be something. So it's very, very amazing how Srila Prabhupada preached. And when he came to India first time with his Western disciples, That was a sensation. First he came to Mumbai with all the devotees. And the first Harinam was splashed on the headlines of all the newspapers. And that particular first Harinam, first Kirtan in the Pandal, it was in Chowpatty Beach, incidentally. Just a couple of minutes walk from here. And in that first time Prabhupada introduced Hare Krishna Kirtan to the Mumbai people. And there were thousands of people and all of them started dancing. In fact, that video is still there. People are dancing back and forth. Devotees showed them. Devotees jumped on the ground from the stage. And they started dancing up back and forth. And the whole crowd was dancing. In fact, the policemen who were there standing as escorts and as security, they also joined in the dancing because they had never seen all this before. And the next day, Times of India carried a front page story about this whole Harinam Sankirtan in Mumbai. And it mentioned about one very particular newspaper reporter from another newspaper who was very well reputed in Mumbai to be a very stoic, grave person, not giving to emotions easily, and an unsentimental, ruthless writer, very sharp writer, critic. So this Times of India report says, even this man was dancing and he was crying in ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is Srila Prabhupada's potency. This is how we introduce Hare Krishna. He returned back to India. When he went to America alone, he was all alone. Prabhupada said that Shishir Kumar, I think, Ghosh, some singer, musician friend of his came. He was the only one at the port of Calcutta to see off Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, there was nobody to see me off. But when Prabhupada came back to India, he came back with a bang, you know, as they say. And then Hare Krishna program became very successful. And then they had the first big Pandal program at Chowpatty, Cross Maidan. And that was 20,000 people would come every day. And that's where His Holiness Srila Loknath Goswami Maharaj and His Holiness Srila Radhana Swami Maharaj got introduced to Krishna consciousness. This is all a wonderful pastime that Srila Prabhupada performed in Mumbai. And it was during that pandal that one day Prabhupada said, we will have a Hare Krishna wedding. And Prabhupada had his Swedish disciple, Mataji, and Australian boy, Vegavan. Prabhupada performed their wedding on stage. And this was another big sensation for the Indians. To see both Western-bodied disciples of Srila Prabhupada in dhoti kurta, sari, and with garlands, and fire yagya. And after the yagya was over, and everybody was watching with stunned silence. And Prabhupada said, this boy is from Australia, she is from Sweden, and this is the real United Nations, Prabhupada said. That time United Nations was quite popular. So Srila Prabhupada actually gave us an opportunity to come together and get united on a spiritual platform. And then Srila Prabhupada, after doing this, Harinam, and they were staying at Malabar Hill, very close by. They would come to Chowpatty for Harinam. And they were staying at Akash Ganga building. And Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, we need a center in Mumbai. We need to make a temple. And he told his disciples to start looking for a place. So his disciples were very happy by the posh Malabar Hill area. This area, Nepensi Road and this Warden Road and this area. So they started looking for building in this area. And they would get excited and they would show to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would say, no, this is not good. All the buildings they showed Prabhupada, it was unacceptable. Srila Prabhupada was then offered 1 5-acre land by one gentleman called Mr. N. at Juhu. And Srila Prabhupada was very excited. But his disciples were not very excited because that land was remote. At that time, Juhu was not a very well-known place. But Srila Prabhupada was excited because of a transcendental reason. When Srila Prabhupada was going to America in August 1965, every day he would go to Sumati Murarji's place at India Steamship Colony to give Bhagavatam class. And he would pass through that area. And he would look at that 5-acre land and he would think, oh, this will be a nice place for Hare Krishna temple. But anyway, Prabhupada was that time busy in his plans to go to America, but he had this desire. And whatever a pure devotee desires, Krishna does fulfill. So Srila Prabhupada now saw that Krishna is reciprocating and is giving me a chance. And anyway, Prabhupada wanted to start a Hare Krishna center in India. That time Mayapur, Vrindavan and Bombay were his three main projects. The land was not at all good. It was overgrown. It was 18 miles from South Bombay. And there were a few five-star hotels coming up in the nearby area. But nobody, none of the disciples were eager to go there. They were not at all enthusiastic to take a property which is so far from the city. But Srila Prabhupada was determined. So he told his disciples, let us meet with Mr. N and let us go ahead with his agreement. Now, the disciples, they were first of all not enthusiastic. And secondly, they started finding reasons. They found solid reasons for suspecting this gentleman, Mr. N. Because Mr. N had sold the same land to another company. There were some rumors going on. And there was questions asked about his character. And they were told, Prabhupada, it's not safe. He's not a good man. And Mr. N was not an ordinary person. He was formerly the sheriff of Mumbai, which is a very big post. He was a sheriff, but he was not a sheriff person. That will be revealed soon. He was a rogue. But he was a sheriff. He had a lot of political contacts. And he was the publisher and editor of one of the most popular English newspapers in Mumbai. So you can imagine the kind of contact he has. Wealthy. He was a very influential real estate person. He owned properties in South Bombay as well as in Juhu area. Lots and lots of properties. He is not a person with whom you want to take up cudgels, you know, take up issues. You don't want to confront such a person. But Srila Prabhupada was always careful. And Mr. N was very friendly. He said, yes, yes, I want to give this land to you. And Prabhupada was the first one to tell his disciples that if a businessman ever says that, sir, for you, I'm not making any profit, that means you should know he's lying. Prabhupada was not at all naive. He was very, very intelligent. But still, Prabhupada wanted this land because he saw this as the best place for preaching Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was willing to take the risk of confronting this Mr. N. Prabhupada had always taken risks. In New York, they had got one real estate agent, Mr. Price. You will read in the Lilamrit second volume how he cheated the devotees, and Prabhupada from day one was telling the devotees to be careful of him. But then he cheated the devotees and then it was a big issue. Prabhupada also took risk in Los Angeles when they took up one church with a big rent. Prabhupada said, no problem. You start preaching, distribute Back to Godhead magazines and pay back the rent. In Jhansi, Prabhupada took so much risk. He got Bharati Vidya Bhavan. They all promised him. You know, typical, like we have this same problems in yatra sometimes, management. Local people, they tell us, yeah, ho jayega, kaam ho jayega ji. And they rooms mil jayega, they say like that. And then last minute, we have to panic. They don't make anything ready. So many times in yatras, we have problems like that. Because people just say. So Prabhupada faced the same problem in Jhansi. These people are telling Prabhupada, yeah, yeah, you start center, we'll support you. So many people promised. But when Prabhupada actually wanted the place, nobody came forward. And to get money, Prabhupada went back to his home, started a small laboratory business just to get money so that he can do preaching in Jhansi. And that firm, that Vimlaton laboratory which he started, that was completely burglarized. He had gone to earn money so that he can start his preaching in Jhansi, but whatever little money he had, everything was gone. So Prabhupada took risks for preaching. But Srila Prabhupada was rewarded. Bharati Vidya Bhavan, Prabhupada was in one sense kicked out of Bharati Vidya Bhavan. He was not given that place. But his Holiness Pradhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning in one class that few years later, when Prabhupada established ISKCON and came to Bharati Vidya Bhavan to give lecture, and he was going out with Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he looked at this direction. K. Munshi Mark, this where our temple is, in this direction, and he told Shyam Sundar Prabhu, We should have a temple here somewhere. So Krishna has fulfilled that desire. And then Maharaj was saying in that class that actually the LNHO property was, the Bharatvedha Bhavan had an important part, an important role in that property also. And there was some problem. And then Srinathji Prabhu, because he had a strong desire to preach, and he was a warrior in Srila Prabhupada's, he's a great warrior in Srila Prabhupada's army, and he had a desire to please Srila Prabhupada, he took up issues with this Bharatvedha Bhavan, and finally, our temple got the property. So then Maharaj said, so Krishna awarded poetic justice to Srila Prabhupada. He was kicked out of Bharatvedha Bhavan, but then eventually the Bharatvedha Bhavan property came back to ISKCON. And Krishna used Srinathji Prabhu as an instrument. So like that, we see that Srila Prabhupada's desire for preaching Krishna consciousness was materializing in India. So Prabhupada had this transcendental vision, so he took up this risk. So they had a meeting at Theosophical Society Colony where Mr. N was living with his wife. And it was a huge mansion he had. Huge lawn, trees, exotic birds. And Mr. N was a short, stocky man. His face was pockmarked, had receding hairline. And his wife was fair. And she and both of them, they were very gracious when Prabhupada came with his disciples. And they discussed about the property. And Prabhupada very openly said, I like your land very much and I want it. And Mr. N said, I want to give it to religious cause like all of you. You know, it's very nice. And then they agreed on the property. 5-acre land, and the agreement was that ISKCON, Prabhupada would purchase it for 16 lakh rupees. 5-acre land. I asked one devotee just now before coming for the class, how much would that land cost now? So he has some knowledge about real estate. He said not less than 30 crores. That 5-acre land in that area. So that time it was costing 16 lakhs. So you can imagine the amount of the money must be money must be so valuable at that time. In the sense, 16 lakh is worth 30 crores. But within that, there was a very important element in that agreement. Srila Prabhupada said, and Mr. N agreed, that they would pay down payment of 2 lakh rupees and then they would get the deed which would say that the property belongs to ISKCON. Mr. N had said that I will give the deed. But then after that, every year you can pay 1 lakh rupees, 2 lakh rupees and like that, pay off the remaining installment. And within that 2 lakh, Prabhupada negotiated further. Prabhupada said, we will pay 50,000 rupees right now. And when we pay another 50,000, we will move into the land. So 1 lakh we have paid, we will move into the land. And then we will pay 1 lakh rupees and then you give us the deed. So that was agreed upon. And so this was the agreement. Srila Prabhupada paid the first 50,000 rupees and they decided to pay another 50,000 and move into the land. Now, who would move into the land? Devotees had mixed feelings. It was like a jungle track. It was difficult to envision a temple there. There were tenants and there are a lot of mosquitoes, rats, and ISKCON didn't have any wealthy supporters that time. It was a drastic contrast to the Malabar Hill residence where they were staying. Exactly opposite. But Prabhupada wanted devotees to come and settle here. And they were all from good families. They had a lot of comforts and luxuries in America and now they were told to stay here. This was really a challenge. And Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we are Westerners. We cannot stay here. We need, you know, water taps. We need all those basic facilities we need. And Srila Prabhupada told them, don't you want to get purified? This answer of Srila Prabhupada, it touched the hearts of the devotees so deeply that they developed a renewed enthusiasm. Rather than a drudgery, they took it up as a spiritual challenge. Because they could see that there is a need for sacrifice. And whatever Srila Prabhupada asked his disciples to do, he himself was doing. Sleeping less, traveling, tolerating so many bodily inconveniences. For those who are feeling doubtful and weak-hearted regarding this project, they now became enthusiastic. And they said, yes, for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure, we will move into the land and we will make a temple here. This is amazing. All these Western disciples, we have to really imagine this situation. What conditions they are now living. And sometimes in India, the Smartha Brahmins, caste conscious people, they criticize Westerners, saying that how can they practice and how can they tell us about Gita. But for all the lofty principles that we profess and we preach, Indians initially did nothing to help Srila Prabhupada. It was these so-called Mlechas and Yavanas who actually dedicated their life for spreading Krishna consciousness. And the three temples in India, Mumbai, Mayapur and Vrindavan, were all funds were provided by the books that were distributed all over the world, Europe and America by devotees, and the hard work, the management was done by the Western disciples. So we should actually appreciate sincerely Srila Prabhupada and all those devotees who sacrificed their life for Srila Prabhupada. So this was November 1971, and by January these agreements were done, and Prabhupada told his disciples, I am going to Jaipur for preaching and coming back by January end. You should pay back the remaining 50,000, move into the land and start staying there. Prabhupada came back from Jaipur and he was disappointed to see that devotees had not moved in. They were still not able to take it. You know, it's kind of a shock, this kind of lifestyle, sudden change. And Madhudvisha Swami, he openly told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm not able to motivate the devotees to come and stay here. It's a big challenge. And Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, just in Jaipur, before coming to Mumbai, Prabhupada had awarded him sannyas. That's a very big pastime. He got sannyas and he was now out preaching. And Prabhupada desperately needed a manager, because you need a big manager to manage this whole thing. What to do? So Srila Prabhupada said, Brahmananda Swami will be a good person. And that time Brahmananda Swami was preaching in Nairobi, Kenya. And Prabhupada said, in Bengali there is a saying, if you want to do something, if you want to get something done, you have to do it yourself. So Prabhupada said, I want Brahmananda, but I will go there myself and get him. So he went to Kenya, he did some preaching programs, and one day he told Brahmananda, Brahmananda, which is the most important city in India? And he said, Prabhupada, Calcutta. Because Prabhupada was from Calcutta. Prabhupada said, no, Calcutta. Don't you know? Mumbai is number one, Delhi is number two, and Calcutta is number three. And for this number one city, Mumbai, I want you. And then Prabhupada got him to Mumbai and made him the manager. And Brahmananda Swami, huge person, very enthusiastic. And Prabhupada was confident that he will be able to inspire all the devotees to move into this land and build the temple. And, you know, start the whole preaching in Mumbai. And meanwhile, they met Mr. N. And Mr. N was again very friendly. He said, yes, yes, you pay the remaining 50,000 and then move in. I'm all for it. The land is yours. So Prabhupada told Brahmananda Swami, you pay the balance, move in. I'm going for preaching program. Prabhupada is again traveling within India, Chennai and a few other places. And within 2 weeks, I'm returning from Madras, Chennai. And in 2 weeks when Prabhupada came, Prabhupada was pleased to see that the devotees had moved in. They had cleared all the overgrown weeds. And they had in fact made a pandal program for Srila Prabhupada. That was very inspiring. And Srila Prabhupada during this period, he did a transcendental tactic. And that is, he installed Radha Ras Bihariji there. He said, now, this land will belong to Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihariji. Radha and Krishna, this will be their place. And devotee said, Prabhupada, but we need a proper place, clean place, proper temple. Only then we can get the deities. Now, more than anybody else, Srila Prabhupada perfectly knows what is the standard of deity worship. But he is saying, he wants the deities there because he knew that once Krishna comes, then this becomes Krishna's property. And then Krishna will take care. So Srila Prabhupada bought the deities, and meanwhile the devotees paid the remaining 1 lakh rupees, and now it was Mr. N's turn to pay the, to give the deed which says that ISKCON holds this property. So as they were waiting for Mr. N to reciprocate, Prabhupada's pandal program started but only 500 people would come every evening. In South Bombay, when Prabhupada did, 20,000 people every day. But Prabhupada was more happy here, because in this 500 people, it was in his own place. So Prabhupada was very happy, and they had a big groundbreaking and cornerstone laying ceremony. And after the end of this Pandal program, it was time to pay the Pandal organizers. And Prabhupada was outraged to know that Brahmananda Swami had promised to pay the contractors 40,000 rupees for the Pandal. Prabhupada called the contractors and he argued with them. And finally, guess how much he gave them? 4,000 rupees. Srila Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was very careful about Krishna's money being misused and devotees being cheated. They said, no, 4,000 is too less. Prabhupada said, you're already making 500% profit. Keep it. And they quietly went with that 4,000 rupees. Meanwhile, Brahmananda Swami was encouraging, but still his preaching in Kenya was getting affected because that was the project Prabhupada had given him. So he had to go back. And again, Prabhupada saw that Bombay, Hare Krishna land, Sri Radha Ras Bihari Ji's project has no manager. Now whom to make a manager? Prabhupada looked and he saw Giriraj Das Brahmachari. Now His Holiness Srila Giriraj Swami Maharaj is one of the most dear disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And in this pastime, in his whole pastime, he is a young, simple, innocent Brahmachari who's come from America. Very simple. Doesn't know the harsh life of Mumbai. And so, for convenience sake, and because it fits the context, the pastime, we'll call Maharaj as Giriraj Das Brahmachari or Giriraj. So Prabhupada called Giriraj and said, Giriraj, we need a manager for Mumbai. And Giriraj said, yes, Prabhupada, whatever you say. And Prabhupada said, you should become the manager. And immediately he got scared because he was very simple. But he had heard that we should do whatever the spiritual master says, we should do. And he said, yes, Prabhupada, whatever you say. Although internally he was feeling, these big people are not able to manage. How will I manage? And he said, yes. And Prabhupada had a twinkle in his eye. And Prabhupada said, now you have to do everything. And Prabhupada smiled and walked away. And Giriraj Maharaj felt, my God, such a big responsibility. And suddenly he became nervous, but was also excited that now he has a chance to serve Prabhupada intimately. And his first target was to get the deed from Mr. N. Meanwhile, in one of the Pandal programs, one foreigner was watching from far. Prabhupada called him over, spoke to him. He was a tourist. He had come to Mumbai just like that. His name was Hans Kleeman. He was a Dutch. Prabhupada asked him, what is your profession? He said, I'm an architect. Prabhupada said, acha, very good. Prabhupada took his bag and gave him so many photographs of Radha Govind temple, Radha Madan Mohan temple of Vrindavan, and said, so study all these structures nicely and make a nice architectural plan for our Radha Ras Bihari Ji temple here. And Krishna will be very pleased with you and he will bless you. So Hans Kleeman made this architectural plan. So he had just come to see a program and Prabhupada expertly engaged him in service of Krishna. Prabhupada gave him so much mercy. Imagine, not only he got to see Prabhupada, he got service. He was just a wandering tourist. This is a pure devotee. He's only thinking of how to engage the fallen conditioned souls in Krishna service. That is his meditation. Therefore, we should always appreciate and admire those advanced devotees who are constantly personally also engaging in Krishna service and always thinking of engaging all the conditioned souls in Krishna service. So Prabhupada got Kleeman to do his job. And this was by this time March 1972. Around 4-5 months had passed. And now Prabhupada was planning a major world tour. For next 7 months, Prabhupada would be out traveling from Australia, then New Zealand, America, England, Europe, then again back to America. It's going to be a longest tour. And Prabhupada said, by the time I come back in November to Mumbai, you should have got the deed. You should pay the first installment. And the construction of the temple should start. You should start collecting 64 lakh rupees because that is the cost needed for the temple. So all the devotees agreed and they were fired up. And Prabhupada was now leaving. And at the airport, few devotees were there to see off Prabhupada. And Prabhupada spoke on separation, serving Guru in separation. And that time Mrs. N also came to see off Prabhupada. Interesting. And Prabhupada looked at her and was very happy. He said, "Oh, Mr. Zen, you have come. You are becoming one of us. Very good." And they all happily, Prabhupada left. Now Prabhupada went to Australia, then New Zealand, went to Hong Kong, came back to Japan, Hawaii, America. And he wanted to know what's happening in Bombay. What is the news? Have the devotees moved in? Oh, the devotees are already moved in. Did they get the deed? That was the main thing. And Prabhupada, when he is in Los Angeles, he gets one letter from Giriraj saying that, "I have just now paid 7,500 rupees to Mr. N." So Prabhupada is shocked. Prabhupada says, "But you are first supposed to get the deed. And secondly, even if you get the deed, this 7,500 should be the part of the first installment. What is this money you paid for?" And Giriraj replies, "He asked for it and he said it is important, it is part of some agreement, some technical things he explained, and he took 7,500 rupees. And that was a big amount. And Prabhupada started smelling fishy. He said, "There is something wrong here." Prabhupada said, "No, don't give him any money. You first ask for the deed because he is not giving." So then Giriraj again went. And this time, Prabhupada was from Los Angeles, he went to Mexico, he went to all the Latin American countries, then came back to Los Angeles. By this time, Giriraj's second telegram comes saying that Mr. N is asking for 5 lakh rupees. He says, "Unless we pay 5 lakh rupees, he won't give the deed. Because this is 5 lakh sales gains tax, which we have to pay." Prabhupada immediately saw the agreement. He had one copy of the agreement. Prabhupada says, "The agreement never mentions this." Then again there was telegram sent. So then Giriraj went to N and said, "Why are you asking for this?" He said, "No, this is a government rule." But then Prabhupada said, "That tax has to be paid by the person who is selling the property, not us." But Mr. N was playing around and he was confusing all the Western devotees here by telling them that you have to pay, you people have to pay 5 lakh rupees. And 5 lakh is a big amount. So Prabhupada, but he was desperate for the land and they were arguing back and forth. Finally, Prabhupada said, "No problem. Although he's apparently cheating, but we want this land. So no problem. Somehow try to get this money. Talk to Mrs. Sumati Morarji, who was in Bombay at that time, and try to get some loan. Somehow try to arrange this money. But we need the deed first. Because we have paid so much money." And then Prabhupada is traveling again. Intense traveling. Goes to New York, Portland, London, Paris, Amsterdam. Comes to Scotland, Glasgow, Edinburgh. Then again back to London. And then there he gets another telegram from Giriraj. He's already paid 7,500 rupees. He's arranging for 5 lakh rupees. And then he went and told Mr. N, "Please give the deed." And Mr. N said, "Well, I'll give you. But first you have to get permission from the charity commissioner." So Giriraj was confused. He didn't know Mumbai so well and he was a new person. All these legal things. Mr. N was just trying to completely suppress him. So then Giriraj went to charity commissioner's office and said, "We need permission." And the charity commissioner's office said, "Oh, we should have applied 6 months before signing the agreement. Now you cannot get permission." It was a huge Gordian knot. Completely confusing. Complete mess. Mr. N said, "I will give you the deed, but you need charity commissioner's permission." But charity commissioner's office says, "We can't give you permission because you are applying now. You have to apply 6 months before the contract. So what to do?" And then it was a big mess. And then Giriraj writes this to Prabhupada. Prabhupada is very concerned and worried. And now they start realizing that this Mr. N is a crook. Because devotees come to know that Mr. N has very close connections, political connections with the charity commissioner's office, and he had influenced them not to give permission. So that another story comes up. Meanwhile, Prabhupada from London again is going to New Vrindavan. He comes back to America preaching, then he goes to Dallas, and there he gets a letter of Srila from Giriraj saying that, "Prabhupada, I want to resign from this Bombay. It's getting too much. Mr. N is harassing us so much, so complicated." Prabhupada started wondering, what about our lawyer? We have a lawyer and he's supposed to do all this. Why are you all getting so scared of this Mr. N? It's a simple thing. We have paid all the money he asked for. Now he has to give the deed. And if there is a problem, take your lawyer, take our lawyer and discuss. And then Prabhupada thought, let me write to our lawyer and ask him what is happening. No reply from the lawyer. And finally, Prabhupada gets two letters which are the most disturbing so far. One letter by Giriraj saying that, one letter by the lawyer saying that I resign. I don't want to be your lawyer. And Giriraj sends immediately another letter saying, Prabhupada, our lawyer and Mr. N are close friends. So now the whole picture is clear. And then Giriraj sends another information that Mr. N has already sold this land to C company and he cheated them same way and has taken their money and has removed the company from this land. Now he has the money of that company also, another company he had sold it to. Now he sold it to us and he has cheated many people like this and made lots and lots of lakhs of rupees like this. So the whole thing comes and now Prabhupada knows that his Western disciples are stuck up in India, in Mumbai, not knowing what to do. So much money has gone. But Prabhupada, nobody had reckoned with him. Nobody had realized what kind of a person Srila Prabhupada is. Prabhupada, such an expert. Such an amazing strategy Prabhupada uses. Prabhupada tells Giriraj, don't be afraid of this man. Simple thing you do. You put an advertisement in the newspaper. All the newspapers saying that ISKCON has gone into an agreement with Mr. N for this 5-acre land in Juhu and this land belongs to ISKCON. So Giriraj puts this ad and Prabhupada is again traveling to Philadelphia, Hawaii, Berkeley and he comes back to Vrindavan. From Vrindavan he has to come back, go to Hyderabad and then he is going to come to Mumbai. But when he comes to Vrindavan, by this time he gets the news that Mr. N has become furious. His real colors, till now he was using diplomacy and cheating the devotees. But now when he saw the ad in the newspaper, he realized, my God, these people are not as foolish as I thought. He thought, these are a bunch of Western boys who are naive and I can easily hoodwink them. I can con them. I can con ISKCON, he thought. I can easily cheat them. But little did he realize that he is trying to cheat Krishna's pure devotee. And Srila Prabhupada's ad in the newspaper completely outraged him. And Mr. N started shouting, abusing devotees. And people were trembling. Devotees were trembling in front of him. And who were these devotees who were not able to pacify the anger of Mr. N? Not simply Giriraj. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, Karandar, Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Bhavananda Prabhu. All of them could not pacify Mr. N. Because Mr. N said, now that you have done like this, you have put this ad in the newspaper, all the money you have given me so far is mine. And you have to get out of the land. So devotees were shocked. Giriraj fell at his feet and paid him full dandavat. Please. Don't be so angry and you know, please give us the deed. And he said, no, I'm not going to give. And he became very violent. And next day, devotees outside the Jew property, there were gundas with branding a machete trying to beat devotees. Mr. N cut off water supply to the Hare Krishna land. And he had one friend, Mr. Mahatre. He started distributing leaflets at Vileparle and Santa Cruz railway stations. And this leaflet, one page leaflet, would contain most scandalous things about ISKCON. Oh, ISKCON is bad and this and all horrible things about ISKCON. And in lakhs, they were distributing to all the local train commuters. So these handbills, so massive publicity Mr. N was using now and through his own newspaper also. And meanwhile, he was not alone. Mr. N had solid support from political connections. Mr. Rane was there, who was the MLA. And he was a close friend of Mr. N. And he started organizing little, whatever little supporters were there for ISKCON, he started getting them together to campaign against ISKCON. So he was using politics. And there was one Mr. Tambe. Mr. Rane was another person who was a black magician. He would use mystical black magic tricks and all that to harm devotees. For like that, he had many friends, political clout. And now the whole thing was happening. And meanwhile, devotees saw that Mr. N is a powerful man. He has taken away so much money. And we have no chance of being in this land. And in this land, we have poor facilities. Roof is constantly leaking. The cement is crumbling. There are rats everywhere. There are flies, mosquitoes, cockroaches, dogs, occasional snakes. And devotees are inflicted with malaria, hepatitis, because this is the month of June, July, 72, when Prabhupada is August. They were simply finding it difficult. They just couldn't manage that, staying there. So then, all the devotees wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying that we should cancel the agreement. Maybe he will give us some money back and we can leave this place, Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. Now, all this while, Prabhupada's lectures and preaching was not affected. He was completely focused, although these problems were going on. Then Prabhupada writes a very nice letter from Vrindavan to the devotees saying that he studies the whole contract, agreement. He says, you don't have to worry anything. Our legal position is perfectly strong. He is simply using, you know, his muscle power. That's, he's just trying to threaten us. We should not be scared. And then Prabhupada is another master strategy. Prabhupada said, he is not threatening you because we put the ad in the newspaper. Now you do another thing. You file a criminal case against him. So this is what the devotees did, and Mr. N was really shocked. He never expected that these devotees... Now so far, Mr. N and Prabhupada had very good relations. Now devotees' relations had got spoiled. Meanwhile, Prabhupada from Vrindavan came to Hyderabad, and Shyamasundara Prabhu came to know that Mr. N is in Hyderabad. Prabhupada had gone for Pandal program. He's about to come to Bombay. So Shyamasundara Prabhu, somehow, of all the devotees, he was the only one so far who had good relations with Mr. N. Because Shyamasundara had a very... sweet daughter, Saraswati. And Mr. N was very fond of her. So because of that, they had good relations. So Shyamasundara immediately came to Hyderabad and he told Mr. N, see, Prabhupada is here. And you are here now. Please meet Prabhupada and let us solve this problem. There is so much misunderstanding and enmity has gone. So Mr. N agreed. But Mr. N, by this time he realized that this old man is not an ordinary person. So far, he had never even anticipated that Srila Prabhupada would be such a great fighter. And he feared. He said, if I meet Prabhupada in Hyderabad here, and we make a new agreement and proper agreement, Prabhupada will have some power. So he thought, I'll try to offset this power of Prabhupada. So he took one yogi, one guru with him to meet Prabhupada. So Prabhupada and God, devotees were surprised. Who, Mr. N has come with whom? Who is this man? But they didn't say anything. And Mr. N introduced him as, he's my guru. No, to protect Mr. N. So Prabhupada saw, he didn't say anything. This, because they were still gracious to each other. Because they had good relations so far. So they met, they had courtesy talks, they had prasadam. And they had, devotees had prepared a big feast. And during the whole prasadam, Prabhupada kept telling devotees to feed more to Mr. N's guru. Please take prasad. Please take. They fed him so much. The guru ate so much. And then after prasad, they were again talking and the guru said, Swamiji, he told Prabhupada, very nice how, very nice program, very nice prasad. You must be tired, Swamiji. You need some rest. And Prabhupada said, yes, I'm very tired. I want to take rest. Why don't we take rest for some time? And then we will meet and finalize the agreement. And the guru said, yes. So then Mr. N and the guru were given one room, big bed, and both of them were taking rest. Prabhupada came out. And after some minutes, he told Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, quietly go inside. And without disturbing the guru, he must be sound asleep. He must be snoring because he had heavy prasad, a lot of prasad, and he must be tired. And Prabhupada said, if a man tells you that you are tired and you need rest, that means he wants to sleep. So you see, he told me that I need rest, that means he must be sleeping. So quietly you go, wake up Mr. N and get him here. So just like Prabhupada said, that's what happened. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj went, Mr. N, Prabhupada wants to meet you, please come. So he came, he tiptoed out of the room, he was still a little asleep. Then they met and they discussed. Meanwhile, the guru was sleeping soundly. And they made a new agreement. And according to the new agreement, Srila Prabhupada and Mr. N agreed that ISKCON will pay 5 lakh rupees more and then get the deed. And within 3 weeks they have to get this done. So Prabhupada was, because he was desperate for this land, he agreed. Mr. N was also kind and polite. And after the event, Tamal Krishna Maharaj told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, so much anxiety we are going through because of this land, but now everything is going to be nice. I can see that you had a nice talk. And Prabhupada, because of these difficulties, I'm not able to chant properly. And Prabhupada said, yeah, sometimes I also have difficulty chanting. Prabhupada tried to encourage him. And he said, Prabhupada, but I feel, although there are so many difficulties and so much struggle to preach and establish this temple, but I feel I'm making advancement spiritually because I'm taking so much anxieties for you and for Krishna. And Prabhupada said, yes, when we take difficult situations for the pleasure of the Lord and Guru, you will actually make advancement. And Subal, who was managing Vrindavan project, he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, whole day counting cement bags and nobody is listening to me, so much construction, I want to just sit and chant whole day and not do anything. Prabhupada said, no, do this seva. And he said, Prabhupada, but nobody is listening to me, it's difficult. Prabhupada said, even if nobody listens, no problem. Just do it for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna is not interested in the result. You just serve sincerely. And then Prabhupada gave the example, very famous example of Mr. Bikam. He said, you should learn from Mr. Bikam. There was this Bikam, Mr. Bikam, who had a pharmaceutical business. But nobody would buy medicines from him. He would desperately go and tell everybody, buy my medicines, please buy my medicines. Nobody purchased medicines from him. So Prabhupada said, he became so frustrated. And one day one man came to his shop and said, can you give me Bikam powder? He was shocked. He said, oh, somebody wants. And in that great excitement, he got a heart attack and he died. So Prabhupada said, we should be like Bikam. Even if nobody listens, if one person becomes devotee and we die, our life is successful. So, see, it's very interesting contrast. Huh? Prabhupada is envisioning a huge project, but Prabhupada knows very clearly that Krishna is pleased by our sincere efforts. Although Prabhupada's plans are big for pleasing Krishna, but he knows Krishna will be ultimately pleased by the sincerity of purpose. So Prabhupada said, no problem. Even if one person becomes devotee, no problem. Be sincere. So meanwhile, they came back to Mumbai. So now devotees were trying to arrange 5 lakh rupees. And they arranged, and again Mr. N was creating some technical complications. But Prabhupada was also preaching. He was in Ahmedabad this time. And before going to Ahmedabad for preaching, he told his disciples, get the deed immediately on new terms because we have done this agreement. Or if he is not giving, then take back all the money that we have given him. But the devotees thought that probably Prabhupada wants to relinquish the land if he doesn't give the money. They understood it as Prabhupada is not minding giving up the land. So these devotees came together and Mr. N's lawyers told these devotees it's very difficult and devotees are also getting bewildered. And the conclusion they came to was if we cancel the deed now, we will get all the money back. Otherwise, again, the same problem will happen. So this confusion was going on. Meanwhile, in Ahmedabad, Srila Prabhupada sensed that devotees might do some blunder. They might cancel the whole agreement. So in the night, he called Vishakha Mataji and told her, you go immediately to Mumbai. And this is late night. This is not a job of a woman. But I'm sorry, I'm giving you this service. You please go and tell them not to cancel the sales agreement. Because everybody is busy here, so many projects are going on. Go immediately. So she took the last train and she came. But by the time she came to Mumbai in the morning, what Srila Prabhupada had feared that had happened. Devotees, because of intense pressure and problems that they themselves were facing, they cancelled the agreement. So now Mr. N has to pay all the money back. Isn't it? Logically. But Prabhupada knew that even if you cancel the agreement, he's not going to give the money. So this they should not have done. But as Vishakha Mataji came there, Giriraj Maharaj at the same time called up Prabhupada in Ahmedabad. And Prabhupada picked up the phone and said, yes, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami here. And Prabhupada said, and Giriraj said, Prabhupada, this is Giriraj. And Prabhupada immediately said, with the urgency in his tone, yes, what is it? And Giriraj told him, he blurted out what had happened. And Prabhupada became quiet for a few seconds. And he said, if you have cancelled, then everything is finished. Now we can't do anything. But Prabhupada, before leaving Ahmedabad, told the devotees there, I will be the last person to surrender to this rascal, Mr. N. And he told his devotees, now we have cancelled, you have done a big blunder, no problem, but don't get out of the land. Be here. Because he's not going to pay the money. So till he pays the money, he can't get out. So now, Mr. N, now he thought, he couldn't fathom what is driving this person to possess this land. Because a materialistic person always thinks others are like him. Atmavat manyate jagat. Mr. N was driven by material possessiveness. So he thought, Srila Prabhupada and his Western disciples are also materially possessive and greedy like me. And because of this, he was doing so many offenses. This is such a tragedy. When we see advanced devotees, when we see pure devotees, and if we judge their activities by our own logic and our own yardstick, we'll be harming ourselves the most. And Mr. N and all his friends were thinking Prabhupada is like them only. So they were using all this. If only they had realized who Srila Prabhupada is, they could have got so much spiritual benefit. Srila Prabhupada's motivation was completely pure. He wanted this land because he had promised Radharas Bihari. When he had bought Radharas Bihari to the Pandal, Hare Krishna land, he had promised them, my dear Sri Sri Radharas Bihari ji, please stay here. I promise I will build a temple for you. And now he saw that this service is now being threatened. And actually, Srila Prabhupada was intensely Krishna conscious. And in Vrindavan, when Krishna is in danger, when Krishna was caught by the coils of Kaliya, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj were parents of Krishna. They were in anxiety. Intense anxiety for Krishna's protection, Krishna's well-being. And in that intense anxiety, their love for Krishna kept increasing more and more and more. That is the nature of spiritual love. It increases when one becomes anxious for Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is experiencing this spiritual bhav, this rasa of intense love and affection and attachment for Krishna in taking anxiety. He was having the same protective mood towards Krishna. Although he knew, Prabhupada knows that Krishna is the ultimate protector of everyone. But he wanted to protect Radharas Bihari ji. That was his motivation. Completely transcendental. So now the deed is cancelled. The devotee's money has gone. Now just imagine this scenario. All the money is gone. The deed is cancelled. And technically, illegally you are occupying a land. But Srila Prabhupada did not stop his service of preaching. Immediately after coming back to Mumbai, he said, these problems will keep happening. But we should arrange a big Pandal program again. They again arranged a big Pandal program in South Bombay, in the Cross Maidan, and 20,000 people again came every night. There was big question answer booth, prasadam distribution, big leaders from Bombay were called every day. It was a massive program. Services were not at all disturbed. This is the amazing attitude and approach of Srila Prabhupada. And during this Pandal program, devotees arranged a meeting of Mr. N with Srila Prabhupada. This has to be the final meeting. We have to be clearing everything, what has happened. Now, so far, they were very kind and polite to each other, but this was a different kind of meeting. Mr. N and Prabhupada met at Mr. Mahadevia's house, and they were barely civil to each other. This was January 73. 1 year, 2 months had passed through this whole episode. And this meeting, Prabhupada politely told him, we have given so much money, please let us be in this land. And he said, "You are CIA agents, I have come to know." So he started accusing Hare Krishnas of being CIA agents. And he said, "You get out of this place." He started talking harshly, and Prabhupada understood he's getting very offensive. And Prabhupada told his disciples to leave the room. And Prabhupada told him, "We never claimed," because he said, he kept saying, "You are claiming to be the owners of the land. You are not the owners of the land." Prabhupada said, "We are not the owners of the land. Krishna is the owner. And we are giving you all the money." But as Mr. N was being aggressive, Prabhupada's voice also raised. Prabhupada said, "You said you will give the money. You will not. If you give the money, we will leave tomorrow morning. But you don't have money. Nor will you give money." And when Prabhupada started raising his voice, Mr. N, nobody had ever spoken to him like that in all his life. He was always a big, powerful man. And here is a person who is shouting at him. So he couldn't take it. And in great anger he said, "You are claiming to be Hare devotees. I will come personally and I will destroy your temple." Because devotees had made a small makeshift temple, steel reinforced structure, small bricks. "I will break, I will remove the deities." And shouting at Prabhupada and the devotees, he stormed out of the house, banging the door. Insulting, like trying to humiliate Prabhupada. Prabhupada quietly came out. Devotees came back. And a couple of days later, they got the news that Mr. N has suffered a severe heart attack. And he was admitted in the hospital. And 2 weeks later, Mr. N died. So Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada did something like this. When Srila Prabhupada got the news, Srila Prabhupada was quiet for a few seconds. He didn't say anything. When he got the news that Mr. N has died, Prabhupada first kept quiet, and then he chanted a verse from Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj, when Hiranyakashipu is killed, his father is killed by Narsingadev, Prahlad Maharaj says one verse where Modati api sadur vrischika sarpahatya. Even a sadhu is saintly person is pleased when a scorpion or a snake is killed. Prabhupada simply chanted this shloka, that's all. So Mr. N was gone, but Mrs. N was still there. So she was not legally as astute as her husband, but she had her lawyers who were greedy for money, and they wanted to prolong this more and create more complications. So things were quiet. This was January 73. Things went on as usual. Devotees did not build any building there because they didn't have any legal rights. That makeshift temple was there. Meanwhile, nothing is happening. It's all quiet. Devotees are continuing their services. February, March, April. But as they say, there is a lull before the storm. The silence, quiet, everything was going on. And then June 1st. Suddenly in the afternoon, the devotees were carrying out their morning. They were carrying out their duties around 10 o'clock. Mrs. N, she calls up the municipal local ward office, convinces them that there is an illegal temple here. And suddenly a truckload of municipal workers come with sledgehammers, blow torches and all those equipments to break the temple. And they start breaking the temple. And devotees are shocked because deities are there. So devotees run, and the Giriraj shows them a paper which explains how they have legal rights and things like that. They just throw the paper and they start pulling out devotees. And devotees are desperate. For their whole plan was, and then because seeing the devotees are fighting back, a truck of policemen also come. And they stop the devotees. So they had a kirtan hall. They start breaking the steel structures. And from top, they also start breaking the roof. So that from kirtan hall, they can methodically proceed towards the altar. So they started breaking. And all the men were thrown away by the police. And there were women devotees also staying, Mataji's. And they were also stopped by the police. And it became so bad that eventually some of the Mataji's were pulled away by the police, by their hairs, and they were dragged out. And all the neighbors were watching. Some of them were happy because they were envious. And Mr. Rane, he was laughing hysterically. He was enjoying the whole thing. He was standing with Mr. Tambe, who was another MLA. They are the ones who had planned this whole operation. So they were all laughing. And it was a very intense thing. And as this last Mataji was trying to protect the DTs, as she was being dragged by the police by her hair, so there was Maithili Mataji and her mother, Gandiva Mataji. So they were there. So this Maithili Mataji was being dragged away. So her mother, in great sadness to see that this is happening to Krishna's temple, she blurted out, because this Mr. Rane was laughing hysterically. So she turned to him and said, "You are laughing. This fire of aparadh will burn you one day. You're doing so much aparadh." But then they continued to laugh and they were enjoying. But the one Mataji, Manishvi, Krishna gave her the intelligence. She was very smart. She immediately ran to the one neighbor's house. She called up Mr. Chandra Mahadevia, who came there. And then he was a good friend of Mr. Vinod Gupta, who was the chairman of Jan Sangh. And then they came there and they saw the whole situation. Meanwhile, the breaking is going on. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they contact one big political leader of Mumbai who was supporting Hinduism at that time. So then this political leader, they tell him that, you know, a Hindu temple is being broken by a Hindu officer under the instigation of another Hindu. What is happening in your city? And they try to convince him. And immediately this politician called up the municipal commissioner and told him, "Do you know what's happening?" And the municipal commissioner said, "I don't know anything." So then they called up the local ward office and they sent a message. And just when the Kirtan wall was destroyed, demolished completely, and they had approached the altar to break the roof of the altar where the deities were kept, a boy from the local ward office came running with the letter saying, which had the sign of the municipal commissioner also, saying that you should stop this demolition. Just at the last minute it was stopped. But the problem was not solved. But then they called up, the devotees called up Srila Prabhupada, who was at that time in Calcutta, and Prabhupada heard this. Prabhupada said, "Don't worry. This will work in our favor." And as Prabhupada predicted, next day immediately Mrs. N put in her newspaper headlines, illegal temple demolished. That was the headlines. But many people did not know that there is a temple there. For they all started coming to see. For that way preaching became more. And Prabhupada said, "Now is the time to launch a massive campaign against Mrs. N." And devotees from morning 6 o'clock till night 9 o'clock, they were going to all different parties, writing letters, putting in different magazines, newspapers, creating massive public opinion. And suddenly, the whole strategy of Mrs. N and her friends, Mr. Matre, Mr. Rane, Mr. Tambe, all of them started backfiring. All the strategies started backfiring. And she was now becoming unpopular. So the whole thing became reversed. And under tremendous public pressure, she realized that she better to sell the land to Prabhupada. But before that happened, she went to the court to file an injunction preventing ISKCON from rebuilding any temple there, because that temple was broken. And devotee Giriraj went to the court to apply for permission to rebuild the temple there. And he came to know that she had already applied for this. So the judge told, and she had applied on Friday evening. The judge said, "I will not hear her case. I will not give my decision unless I hear your side of the story also. She has applied that you should not rebuild the temple." For Giriraj didn't apply his paper. He took it back. He said, "Yes." Okay. And he went back. And the judge said, "We'll meet on Monday morning." So devotees now had, this was Friday evening, Saturday and Sunday, they had 2 full days. And devotees said, if the judge decides on Monday morning that we cannot rebuild the temple here, then we can do nothing. But in these 2 days, if we somehow build a temple, some makeshift temple, something we make ready, then what will happen? That will be a good strategy. So devotees worked hard, and Friday night it started raining heavily. And in the whole rain and night, the devotees started working hard, Saturday, Sunday, and the temple was ready by Monday morning. So the judge heard the case and he said, and this application was that the temple cannot be rebuilt. And the Giriraj's lawyer said, "But there's already a temple." There's already a temple there. And the judge said, oh, temple is already there. Whatever is built. Nothing should be broken now. Let the temple be there. And devotees were ecstatic. And when Prabhupada got this news, Prabhupada said, this is victory. And Srila Prabhupada was very happy. He said, now you should make massive campaign. And after that, they started doing massive campaign about how ISKCON's temple is bona fide. Meanwhile, Mrs. N realized that she should give the land, but she was not willing because she was attached and she wanted to get more money. Now again, July, August, September, Prabhupada is again traveling and Prabhupada said, please settle this fast, and then devotees called up Prabhupada. Prabhupada, she's agreed, come back immediately to India, we'll sign off the contract. Prabhupada came back to India and again she was delaying. Prabhupada got fed up, and one day when Prabhupada was giving a lecture at one Mr. Bogilal Patel's house, in the roof terrace he was giving lecture, and one devotee came, Prabhupada, Mrs. N has come, she's agreed, and she's there waiting down in the house. Prabhupada interrupted the meeting, interrupted the class, and he went down to meet her, thanked her for coming, and said, I'm coming back, you wait. And Prabhupada went back, gave the class, did the whole program, and then midnight, 11 o'clock he came back, and she was still waiting. And then they spoke, and Mrs. N, she fell at Prabhupada's feet and she started crying. And she begged forgiveness for all the trouble that she caused to Srila Prabhupada. And after hearing her whole repentance, Prabhupada told her that, I have forgiven you and you are just like my daughter. And I have not taken any offense. And please be assured that our devotees will take care of you for the rest of your life. We will treat you like one of us. She was now again wanting to be one of Srila Prabhupada's family. But still, to sign the contract, that willingness was not there. Because, you know, that attachment to that land. And then Prabhupada promised her, they came to an agreement verbally, that Prabhupada said, I'll pay 12 lakh rupees more and then 50,000 rupees extra for all the inconvenience from our side. For like this, the total expenses that Prabhupada had to incur was around 20 lakh rupees for this whole land. So they agreed, and finally, November 1st was decided the date for signing this contract. Generally, this is done in the registrar's office, which was at South Bombay that time. And it has to be done in the presence of the city registrar. But because Prabhupada's case was special, and the city registrar agreed to come to the jewel land, and it was a big program. It was evening, and they were all sitting. Mrs. N, the city registrar, Prabhupada, and they were signing this paper. It was complete silence. Only the paper sound and the pen scratching sound was heard. Everybody was anticipating this day. It was 2 years almost, after 2 years of fighting. And Giriraj Maharaj was telling once that at that time it was a momentous hour. 25 minutes it took, and those 25 minutes there was complete pin drop silence. And we were feeling as if two great world superpower treaties are signing. Two world superpowers are signing some treaty, and it was that kind of a event. And as soon as the signing was done, Mrs. N broke down and she started crying. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj thought she's crying because she's feeling bad that she harassed devotees so much and for all that. So they went and told, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj went and told her, Mataji, no problem, it's all over now. And then she revealed why she was crying, because the previous day Mr. Matre had convinced her, Mataji, don't give this land to Hare Krishnas. You are getting 20 lakhs, but I am getting you a for 50 lakhs, I'll get a party for this. So she was getting 50 lakhs for that land from another party. But because the Prabhupada's overwhelming presence and purity, and she had offended the devotees so much, now she had no strength. She just couldn't take this decision. Although all her friends were trying to convince her. So she signed, and she was lamenting that she lost. She could have got more money from that place. But then Srila Prabhupada, then the contract was signed, and there was a big festival. There was a big
big feast cooked. In fact, all the items are also given in the Lilamrut. There are three types of sabzis, three types of pakodas, five sweets, laddu, cham cham, barfi, sevai, kheer, halwa, papad. Such an important element, it's mentioned in the Lilamrut. All the items are mentioned. Papad, lime juice, potato sabzi, wet cauliflower sabzi, rice, dal, puri, eggplant pakodas. They had a good prasad and nice prasad and nice kirtan. And after that, after the whole thing was over, in the night Prabhupada went to his room to take rest. Prabhupada sat back and told his disciple, servant, Harishwari Prabhu. No, not Harishwari Prabhu, somebody else, I don't remember. Prabhupada said, it was a good fight. We had a good fight, Prabhupada said. And after that, if you see 1973, around this period, November 1973 onwards, many lectures that Srila Prabhupada gave, he would mention about this Hare Krishna land issue. And amazing point Prabhupada would say, so in Hare Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, there are no problems. Like we see in this Hare Krishna land, there are no problems. Krishna has given us this land so kindly. So we have to spend some time to analyze how Prabhupada could say that. There are no problems. Many times Prabhupada says this, there are no problems. And he would give the example of Hare Krishna land to say that. So Satsarup Maharaj gives a brilliant purport to this mood of Prabhupada. He says, because Prabhupada was fully Krishna conscious, Prabhupada was seeing that Krishna is doing everything. Krishna has taken over the whole thing. So somebody who is Krishna conscious and somebody who is seeing Krishna is doing the whole, running the whole business, then for him there is no problem. Just like when Arjuna vowed to kill Jayadarath, Krishna told him, you are a fool. You can't kill Jayadarath. He will be covered by so many Maharathis, you cannot approach him, you cannot kill him. Why have you taken such a foolish vow? Because Arjuna said, I'll kill myself if I cannot kill him tomorrow. So Arjuna said, I cannot kill him. That's not my problem, that's your problem. You have to somehow ensure that I kill him. So Krishna was in anxiety. Arjuna slept peacefully that night. So Srila Prabhupada's preaching was going on enthusiastically. Everything was going on nicely. But Srila Prabhupada did take anxiety for Krishna. And because he was completely Krishna conscious, he felt that there are no problems. And his whole pastime reveals Srila Prabhupada's mood of a real saint. Titikshava, he was tolerant. He was tolerant of so many inconveniences that came his way. Bhagavatam describes Titikshava Karunika Surda Sarvadeyinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana. Prabhupada was tolerant. Titikshava Karunika, he was merciful. When the temple was being broken, he could have taken it as a signal from Krishna that Bombay doesn't need Hare Krishna. Let us leave Mumbai. Prabhupada had hundreds of temples all over the world. He could have gone anywhere. But this is compassion of a pure devotee. He wanted the Mumbai Walas to get Hare Krishna. And because of this, we are so fortunate. We are connected to Krishna consciousness. So this is the compassion of a pure devotee. And I remember sometime back, some years ago when I was doing book distribution with one devotee in the local train, I remember once we saw one man. He, you know, every compartment we were announcing and giving books, somehow the same person would be there. And we were wondering, some mystic, what is happening, you know. And that man would look at us and then I thought, okay, somebody in the next compartment, again he would be there. It took us some time to realize that this man is following us. So there was another devotee with me, he said, Prabhuji, why be afraid? Let us, attack is the best form of defense, let us give him books. So we caught him and gave him all books. And then we thought we'll try to avoid him. So we got down at one Jogeshwari station and we sat in the bench. And after 3-4 trains, we took another train. And we entered and he was there also. Really, I'm not exaggerating. We were shocked. And that man realized that, you know, we are like kind of, then he came and said, don't be afraid of me. I'm simply following both of you because I feel so peaceful just seeing that, you know, you are devotees. I'm in a miserable condition. And then he started crying. He started telling his story. He said, I want peace. I want happiness. I'm very wealthy. He was from Gujarat. And he said, I have six or seven liquor bars in Mumbai. He has a lot of money. And he has so much money that he goes on a world tour to enjoy. Twice a year, you know, he goes on a cruise and he enjoys. And I said, I have everything, but the mafia is after me, my family is breaking down, I'm so miserable. Can you help me? He was like crying, you know. And we were thinking that time that Srila Prabhupada is so merciful, he has given Hare Krishna in Mumbai to help all of us. And I remember we told him to chant and come to temple and he agreed. But then we could, when the train moved and then so many people, we could easily see that he was lost in the teeming crowd of millions. We just, so many lost souls everywhere. Of course, his life is successful because he's got Prabhupada's books. But so many people, and so many people's lives have been touched by Prabhupada. At least in the few years that I did book distribution, I've met at least 15 to 20 people who have asked me, hey, Hare Krishna, elderly people, huh? That Giriraj, is there Giriraj Das Brahmachari, is there? I said, yes, you know him? Oh, he's so sweet, so nice, he used to come to our house and used to come and give prasad, he used to collect life members, he's still there? I said, yes, he's a very big Maharaj, he's a very big leader. Acha, he was such a cute boy. They would all call Giriraj Maharaj as a very sweet and innocent boy. So, Prabhupada and his disciples, they have touched the lives of so many people in Mumbai. So, it's an amazing service that Srila Prabhupada has done for the pleasure of Krishna and for the benefit of all of us. And then, devotees started having programs. But Krishna, he takes very seriously the apara that is committed to his pure devotees. Mr. Matre was the one who was constantly spreading rumors by distributing handbills outside railway stations. He was the chairman of a board of trust of which had many schools. So one day there was he was exposed in a illicit affair scandal with one of the teachers of his schools. And that was splashed in all the newspapers. And Mr. Matre was a very well-known person in Mumbai. And there was big morchas in the city of Mumbai with Mr. Matre's photo garlanded with chapels. And he got heavy reaction. For the rest of his life, he lived in disgrace. So Krishna gave him heavy reaction for offending devotees. Mr. Tambe was an MLA who used to always try to get the life members together and try to do politics, divide the ISKCON. Krishna gave him heavy reaction. One morning, when he had called all the devotees for a big meeting in one place, all the life members, morning he got up from the bed, he just couldn't get up. His body was paralyzed. Everything was normal, suddenly paralyzed, just couldn't do anything. And he remained like that for more than 20 years. He died a miserable death. He couldn't do anything. All his plans to destroy ISKCON, nothing happened. And there was Mr. Rane. One morning when devotees were having Mangalarati in the temple, at 5:15, 5:20, suddenly they started hearing screaming sound. Ah, somebody shouting. And they came out of the temple and they saw there was Mr. Rane. He was completely in fire. He was burning. And devotees were shocked and he was shouting. What had happened? He was in his room, which is very close to the Hare Krishna temple, and he was using black magic, tantric tricks to destroy Prabhupada. He had bought Prabhupada some idol kind of thing and is using something. But it is said that when you try all this black magic against a pure devotee, it backfires. So he was trying all that and it backfired on him that he got bewildered and he ran to his kitchen, picked up kerosene, put it on himself and lit a fire. And then he realized what he had done. But by that time it was too late and he came running outside and was screaming and he was charred to death, completely burnt alive in front of the devotees. For like that, Krishna destroyed all those demons who offended Prabhupada and his sincere followers who were serving Krishna so sincerely. So we can see that Krishna consciousness is here to stay and flourish for the next 10,000 years. If we can, at best, we can assist Srila Prabhupada and be an instrument. So this is a wonderful way Srila Prabhupada got this land. We discussed how even this place was God, Srila Prabhupada's vision. And of course, we may not want to be part of this mission or we may not want to be an instrument, but then we will be left aside. Krishna has no shortage of instruments. So we all have a choice. We may not be doing big things like Prabhupada, but we can assist Prabhupada and be in the army, either like Hanuman or maybe some small squirrel. In the Ramayana, we see that both Hanuman and the squirrel were doing their part. So we can also do that. We can play our part. Radha Gopinath Prabhu always gives the example of the carpenter's box. The carpenter in his box has many tools. You know, big hammers and big equipments, and there are some small, nails also. So sometimes the big things are used, but when the time comes, that small thing is also used. Everything has a place. All equipments have a place. So some of us might be able to do a lot of preaching. Some of us might be doing some simple services. But we are all part of a big family, a big team. And if we are in this consciousness of wanting to please Srila Prabhupada, and we play, we do our small role. No? We play a small part in a big plan that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already made. The plan to deliver the whole world has already been made by Prabhupada, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we just have to do our insignificant attempt. Problem happens when I want to do something great. You know, when I become the center, there is all problem. But if we try to sincerely assist Srila Prabhupada, and we don't have to do any tapasya. Tapasya has already been done by Srila Prabhupada and all his disciples. They worked so hard. We just have to be grateful. And we just have to hang on to this wonderful process that Srila Prabhupada has given us. So therefore, on this most auspicious occasion of Srila Prabhupada traveling to the West to start ISKCON, to start Krishna consciousness, let us meditate on Srila Prabhupada's sacrifice and let us aspire to be sincere instruments in the hands of Srila Prabhupada and all his sincere followers, so that we can also perfect our life and become dear to Lord Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now we'll have kirtan and then prasadam.